When I was a little boy, and yes, there was a time when I was little, I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church, and as part of my first communion, at the age of 7, I had to go to confession. They call it today the Sacrament of Reconciliation, or Penance, but it's confession. And I rather grew to like confession, going with my friends at the age of 8 to our local parish church and waiting in line to see Father in his little box. And there whisper our sins, and then come out and compare how many Our Fathers and Hail Marys we had to say. What? You have to say 10? What did you do? We went on retreat, my little class and I, for a Saturday weekend. And it was spent on the whole question of sin and confession, and we had to start off with confession and finish with confession. But after we were done with the second confession, a little while later I went back again. And the priest said, weren't you just here a little while ago? And I said, yes, but I'm in a state of grace, and I'm afraid that I'm going to do something, however small it might be, to ruin that. And he was annoyed with me, and he said, well, you know, confession is for confessing sins, not talking about states of grace. And I said, yeah, but I don't want to lose this feeling. So then he relented, and he said something like, it will be all right, you'll see. Well, that was a few years ago, and it took me a long time to see that it would be all right, sort of. I had been taught that if you committed a mortal sin, that is to say, you broke one of the Ten Commandments and you died, you would go to hell forever. Then there were a whole lot of other sins known as venial sins, which were not going to get you into hell, but would definitely get you into purgatory, because you certainly could not go to heaven with venial sins on your heart, because you weren't in a state of grace and you weren't pure and you had to be purged in purgatory. And it all made a lot of sense, you know. This is before Vatican II, yes, I am that old. It made a lot of sense. Avoid the big ones. Try to avoid the little ones. If you avoid the little ones, go to confession, it'll be okay, you'll be in a state of grace. Which on Saturday, it's kind of strange because you're going to go out on Saturday night, and the older you get, the more Saturday night becomes a place for, well, you can imagine what I'm talking about. And then you go to communion on Sunday, and you shouldn't receive communion if you're not in a state of grace. It's a very logical kind of system. However, it really doesn't work very well. If you think about the 7 capital sins, and you start off with the sins of the flesh, like gluttony, which isn't just about eating too much, it's about too much attention paid to your body. You will have to be just as thin as, pick your model, Gluttony is too much attention to the body. Well, okay, you can get over that. Keep going to confession, put your trust in Jesus, realize you're going to bury this carcass someday, or rather someone else will bury it for you, and move on. And then there's lust. Lust is the desire to make someone an object to satisfy your needs. It could be sexual or others. But when you begin to see other people as Christ sees them, it becomes hard to do that. Not impossible, of course. And you move up the ladder of envy and anger. Anger, not the righteous anger that you might feel when you see injustice, but the anger that allows you to treat people as if they were less than you, as you chew them out and call them names and everything else. Well, maybe you can get beyond that one. You see, getting away from the mortal sins, stick to the venial, go to confession, you know, keep yourself in a state of grace. And the more you go up hating people because of what they have, that's what envy is, and desiring to take away from them what they have that you want, that's jealousy, eventually you end up feeling pretty good about yourself. You've made it now. You're now a good person. You don't commit any mortal sins, and you commit a few venial sins, and those can be wiped away. Problem is, once you've climbed that mountain, if you have, and I'm not saying I have by any means, don't get me wrong, you end up at a place where you get two sides of the same coin, pride and something called sloth. And it's really not laziness, but they're really the same thing. Pride is saying, well, I'm as good as God is now. Certainly better than those people, certainly better than that person. I've made it. No venial sins, no mortal sins, permanent state of grace, that's me. It's the greatest sinner of all. It's a person who feels that way. And the obverse of that pride is this sloth thing, which really is to say, God, go away. I don't want you. Please leave me alone. Please go away. So you see, the problem is the system that I learned as a little boy doesn't work. It worked for a little boy, of course. But as a grown man, it hasn't worked for me at all. And when I became an Episcopalian, an Anglican, I learned that, in fact, all of those legal ways of looking at sin and redemption are all too often going to lead you to pride, or the reverse. Go away, God, leave me alone. And that what really only works is love. Paul says, where there is love, there's no need of law. Because love is more stringent. Love is more exacting. Love demands everything. And I can tell you, I fall short of that one, big time. But it makes a whole lot more sense to me than trying to figure out what is a sin and what isn't. And trying to avoid the one and do the right thing by not doing it. That isn't the heart of the matter. Jesus died on the cross out of love for you and me. Jesus did not die on the cross to set some kind of thumb on the scales of justice when your soul is judged. He died on the cross because he loves you, and he loves me. And if we allow that to happen, if we allow God in Christ to love us, then sometimes that love kind of leaks back out to other people and back to God. That's really the way it works. But the law of love, there is no law. It's just a lot harder to live out of love than out of some kind of calculus, some legalistic way of cutting it all down to size so I can take it in bite-sized pieces. It's love or nothing. And we might still end up saying, God, leave me alone. Just let me be. Let me shrivel up to nothing. Or we might still go back all the way down to lust and anger and all those things. But it's a lot harder to do that when you've really come to accept that love is what God is all about. As Presiding Bishop Michael Curry likes to say, if it's not about love, it's not about God. And if it's not about God, what are we doing here? And I think I should close this by mentioning that when we are done with this service, the three clergy present will offer confession in English or in French. And as we Anglicans like to say about private confession, all can, it's available to everyone. Some should, if you're really tormented by something that you've done or failed to do. And nobody has to, because it's really between you and God, the God who loves you as you are, and who seeks to drench you with that love so that it might leak out to other people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.